Today on the Gary Zimak Show, we'll take a look at the corporal works of mercy, and we'll also discuss the mass readings for Sunday of the 16th week in ordinary time. Stay right there, because it's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. This is the Friday edition of the Gary Zimak Show, and I'm thrilled to be here with you on today's show. We're going to look at the mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we will also look at the corporal works of mercy on our Hidden Power of Kindness segments. We got a lot to talk about today. I hope you're doing well. It's another beautiful day here in southern New Jersey. Had a great time on Iowa Catholic Radio this morning. I am so blessed to be able to be able to be able to be able. That's a lot of be ables. To be able to reach out to many different people on the radio, and I'm really excited that we can continue to do this show on Blog Talk Radio. Quick reminder that in September, God willing, we will continue once again our tradition of doing the preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now, you know the deal, that's always tentative depending on my funding at the moment. The current plan is that we should be able to do the show. We've done it for 4 years. I'm hoping to do it for a fifth year, but it, you know, I'm cutting it pretty close. That's why I always ask for contributions, and even though I don't like to, in order to be able to keep the program on the air. But as it looks now, we're going to be able to do it, and we'll do the 33-day preparation using Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory, and we'll go right through the weekend. We'll do 33 days in a row, 30-minute programs each day, and I hope you'll be able to participate, whether or not you've already made your total consecration. If you've already made yours, then you can renew it. St. Louis de Montfort recommends that we renew this consecration once each year, and I and many other people will be renewing our total consecration this year on the show. But if you've never done it before, stay tuned. You're going to hear a lot more about it. This is a great devotion. It's going to be a life changer, and it's going to bring you closer to Jesus. And again, it'll start somewhere the first week of September. I don't know exactly. I think it's September 4th or the 3rd. But we want to do 33 days and then end up on October the 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and that's when we'll make our total consecration. So just some highlights that are coming up. Briefly also, next week I will be at the Catholic Marketing Network trade show in Somerset, New Jersey. If you happen to be in the area and you will be attending the trade show, please look for me. I'll have my own booth there. I'll be filming an episode of EWTN Bookmark for my new book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, while I'm in town. And also, I will be speaking to the Catholic Writers Guild. So I hope you'll be able to stop on by. I will have my books available there, and I would love to meet you. And right after that, I head on a plane and out to Chicago to speak at the IHM Homeschool Conference, the regional conference for Chicago. I'll be giving two talks on Saturday, which is what? Saturday is the 25th of July. And if you're in the area, again, I'd love to see you. There is no admission for the IHM Homeschool Conference. There's a link to it on my website if you want to find out more. And the following weekend, Friday the 31st of July and Saturday the 1st of August, I'll be in Dobbs Ferry, New York, at another IHM Homeschool Conference. Again, there's no admission there. And I'd love to meet you. So if you're in any of these areas, please stop on by and say hello. Full information can be found on my website, followingthetruth.com. Well, we've got a lot of readings, a lot of material to cover today, so let's make sure we don't run out of time. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. Thank you for all of the blessings that you've given to us and that you continue to give to us in our lives, so many of which we overlook when we get distracted by the problems that get our attention. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, Father, who redeemed us, who made it possible for us to go to heaven. We thank you for the gift of the grace that you give us through your church. We thank you for sacred scripture, where we can open up the Bible and hear you speak to us every day. We thank you for always listening to our problems. We thank you, Father, for loving us unconditionally and always being willing to accept us back, even after we strayed or offended you. We thank you for the gift of life, We thank you for the ability to hear and to see if we can see. We thank you for our gifts. We thank you for letting us participate in spreading the good news. Thank you for letting us do that. It's a great honor that you trust us with such important work. And Father, we ask you to help those who are sick today. Please heal anyone who may be in great pain or suffering from an illness. Help also those who are struggling financially, those who are dealing with any kind of difficulties. Some people are struggling with addiction. Some people are struggling with anxiety. Some people are lonely. Many people are on the verge of despair. We ask you to help them all, Father, and to allow them to feel and experience your peace. And we ask you to accept our own personal needs and intentions and take care of them in the best way possible. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you. We ask for your help in getting close to Jesus, your Son. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, my name is Gary Zimak, and we're going to hang out here for the remainder of this 30-minute program. We're here every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. The show is now in its fifth year. Praise the Lord. You're a big part of that. It wouldn't be possible without you, so I thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your donations. I thank you for your words of encouragement. It's a great honor to be able to be here with you every day. If you want to find out more about my work, if you want to maybe invite me to speak at your parish, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And also, the beverage du jour, one of the most popular features on this program. Today is a very simple one. Here we go. Yes. What do you think? Any ideas? Well, if you guessed a big, tall glass of cold water, that's what it is today. We're going simple. We're going basic today, but it's that kind of day, nice and warm out. This beverage du jour is appropriate. I hope you have your snack, your beverage, and you're ready to get started. Let's do these Mass readings first. This is from Sunday of the 16th week in Ordinary Time. Now, we're getting close to the halfway point of the liturgical or the church year. There are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time, and the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we really have 34 Sundays in Ordinary Time, so we're just about at the halfway point at the 16th week. What's 16, 32? Yeah, we're just about there. Next week will technically be the halfway point of the liturgical year before, of course, we start the Advent season. Today's readings, the focus is on the Good Shepherd, the Lord as our Good Shepherd. So let's read them through, and then we'll talk more about them. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them. But I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them, and bring them back to the meadow. There they shall increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them, so that they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. Now, what the Lord is saying through the prophet Jeremiah here is the shepherds, the religious leaders of the time, are misleading and scattering the flock of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Against the shepherds who shepherd my people, you have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I'll take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from the lands to which they have driven them and bring them back to their meadow. Now, what we see here is a foreshadowing of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And this is what, if you look at these Old Testament readings, they foreshadow events that will be coming in the future. That's what we see here. And you'll see this ties in nicely when we look at the Gospel and even when we look at the responsorial psalm. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? The shepherd leads his flock. That's you and me. We're the flock. We are led through the shepherd. Now, of course, we can have various individuals leading us. We have our priests. We have our bishops. We have even you and I. We can be shepherds to other people in some capacity. We have many people who are working to help Christ shepherd his flock. And again, you and I do play a role in that too. So we want to be careful that we are not causing people to go astray. We want to make sure that we are shepherding people and bringing them closer to the Lord. We are bringing them closer to the Lord. And that's what we want to make sure that we do. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go forward with this reading, with these readings. Now let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. And this is not only my favorite psalm, but I believe it's the favorite psalm of all time. If you look at studies, this is the psalm that people love the most. Why? Because it's so comforting. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. It's great to think about this fact that the Lord is our shepherd, that the Lord does walk beside us, that the Lord will never desert us. For somebody who is prone to anxiety, such as I am, it's a very pleasant thought, and it brings me a lot of relief during those times when I do feel alone. And let's face it, most of us go through that. We go through those stages when we all feel alone at times. But it's great to know that the Lord is there for us, that he is leading us, that he is shepherding us. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. This is one of the messages that we sometimes tend to overlook. I think a lot of us tend to take Jesus for granted. And if we put ourselves in the place of people who were trying to get close to God the Father and really didn't have that closeness, who really didn't understand that it was possible to get that close to God the Father, then we can easily not appreciate the wonderful privilege it is to be that close through the person of Jesus Christ. With Jesus, we can get the Father, get to the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, that is something that was unheard of back in the days before Jesus became one of us, right? So that's something to be thankful about, that through Jesus, we have access to the Father. When we pray, when I start the prayers at the beginning of the show, I pray to God the Father through Christ. And that's what we're all invited to do. Through Christ, we have access to our Heavenly Father. He loves us so much that he wasn't content to be a distant God. But, you know, this was a process that took thousands of years to unfold, the fact that Jesus came to earth at the right time to draw all men closer to God the Father. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them and they follow me. That's the Alleluia verse for the gospel, which comes from John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them and they follow me. And really, that's a question that we want to ask for ourselves. Do I know the voice of the shepherd? Do I really hear the voice of Jesus? Is Jesus my shepherd? Do I recognize his voice? Or am I listening to the voices of the world, which sound pretty darn appealing? That's a challenge. It's a challenge that we each face every day. The world is preaching one message. We're going to hear these voices in our heads saying we need the latest gadget. We need to have a lot of money in order to be happy. We need to have possessions. And none of these things are wrong. There's nothing wrong with them. But possessions, money, merchandise, whatever it is, prestige, all these things are only going to bring a temporary level of happiness. But the world's going to say, no, that's what you need to do. If you have money, and if you're famous, then you are going to be happy. And that's what you need. Famous people with lots of money, lots of acclaim, they're happier than the regular guys just like me. Well, that's not true, but that's the message of the world. So we need to know the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the secret to happiness. Following Christ is what it's all about. And we need to be able to learn to recognize his voice. The gospel is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked, he saw the vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When we look at this, first of all, there's a couple of great messages in this gospel reading. The first thing that Jesus teaches us is that we need to rest sometimes. We need to pull away from the craziness of the world. We need to rest. We need to absolutely rest and just take it easy, even if you're watching TV sometimes. We need to do that. But also, we need to pull away from the world and spend time with Jesus every day. This is not just a nice saying, but this is a true statement. I need to make time each day to speak with Christ and listen to him speak to me. Now, whether that's through prayer, I mean, certainly I speak to him through prayer, but I can listen to him through the Bible. I can listen to him even from reading spiritual books, good spiritual books. I can listen to him just in the silence of my heart. There are a lot of different ways we can listen to him, but we have to have that dialogue. I need to spend time with Christ every day. If I can make it to daily Mass and receive his real presence in the Eucharist, that would be ideal. That's the ultimate goal, if we can do that. But not everybody can do that. The next goal might be to spend time in his Eucharistic presence in adoration. If you can't receive him, just maybe spend a little time with him at an adoration chapel. That would be next. And then, of course, you can spend time with the Lord wherever you are. Open your Bible, pray, whatever you have to do. But you've got to have that time where you turn the TV off, turn the radio off, turn the computer off, and just disconnect and spend time with Jesus Christ, your shepherd. And that's what you're going to need for your spiritual well-being. Jesus also had pity on the crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them. That's a reminder to us that Christ has a human heart, and he has compassion for you and for me, for those who are lost. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? He began to teach them many things. That's what he wants to do through his church, primarily, for you and me. He wants to teach us. So in order for us to take in the lesson that he has for us, what do? We have to spend time with him. And I, you know, it sounds like a no-brainer, but we get busy. Even for me, I've got a million things to do each day, and it's easy for me to completely lose sight of the importance of spending time with Jesus, of taking a break for prayer. And I do that. I make it a point to do that, even though I have a lot of things to do, a lot of emails to send, a lot of writing to do, a lot of radio to record. I just can't be giving all the time. I can't be doing things all the time. I need to be rejuvenated. That comes with through my relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's very important to do that. It's not just something that I say, and yeah, we keep it in mind. Oh yeah, that would be nice. No, it's real. You got to do that, because otherwise you'll burn out. Now, if you have any questions about the readings today, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, we got about 10 minutes left, which is good. So we're going to look at the corporal works of mercy. This Friday segment, we always do the doubleheader. We do the Sunday Mass readings, and we look at the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. So that's really important that we do that, because we want to learn to be kind. The Lord wants us to be kind to one another, and when we are kind, we are serving him. And I think that's one of the hardest things when it comes to being a Christian, being kind to other people. So today we're going to look at the corporal works of mercy. And quickly, this book that I use is called Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. It is, and I've mentioned this before, I just want to mention it again. It is available in an abridged format. It's still in print under the name The Hidden Power of Kindness. And I'd really recommend you pick it up, because it is an excellent book. I'm using the original book because there's some additional material in it. Corporal works of mercy. The object of all love is the good of the one loved. The object of the love of God is the honor and glory of God. The object of love of neighbor is the spiritual plus temporal welfare of your fellow man, and through that, the honor and glory of God. You must love your neighbor for God's sake. The love of neighbor imposes many duties upon you directed toward your neighbor's well-being and happiness. Your first duty is to give material help to your neighbor whenever possible. Now, that's where the corporal works of mercy come in. The chief corporal works of mercy are to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit the imprisoned, to shelter the homeless, to visit the sick, and to bury the dead. Now, they are the corporal works of mercy. They have to do with the body. The Latin word corpus, body. See, that's why they're called the corporal works of mercy. Almsgiving, in a truly Christian manner, not only allays temporal want, but raises the spirit of the poor above their depressing wants and difficulties. The spirit of love should transform the world and make it a better place in which to live. Poverty will never be entirely eliminated, but there need not always be so much poverty that easily could be lessened in the measure in which each one of us is able to diminish it. So, therefore, we have this ability, if we can, to help other people. Now, the book also says, give of what you have. After all, it's not really yours. Goods of this world are only borrowed from God. You are bound to use and to distribute them according to God's will. Not he is rich who possesses much, but he who gives much away. To keep things you own away from those in need in opposition to God's will has all the earmarks of robbery. That's, you know, that is something that we need to keep in mind, that we really don't own anything. It all belongs to God. Let's look at some of these corporal works of mercy further. An important corporal work of mercy is visiting the sick. Some may be able to live without the love of their fellow man, but the love of others is the very life of the sick. Sick people who need as much love as children are often hard to love. They are often ill-tempered, discontented, sensitive, exacting, and selfish. Nevertheless, sickness brings out many a lovable feature in a person. In sickness, a man becomes once more a man, stripped of official garb and externals of position and honor. Whatever he may have been, upon a bed of suffering, he becomes like any simple child in need of help. Sickness makes people more simple and humble. The sick person may claim charity as a sacred right. His sufferings must not be increased by lack of consideration and understanding, by noise and talk, and yet He is not to be left to himself in his misery. Go to a sick person and serve him in any way that you can, either by a word of comfort and encouragement, or by conversation, or by nursing him, or by some gift of pleasant surprise. The fine tactfulness of love will enable you to avoid letting the sufferer feel that it cost you an effort to stay with him. And you know, sometimes we make that mistake because sick people, as you know, listen, I do it sometimes when I'm sick. Sick people are difficult to be with, and sometimes we make it worse on them by making them feel as if we're inconvenienced. Do you ever do that? You got to be really careful about that. And that's where you need the grace. You need the grace that the Lord can give you. And you can pray for that. If you know it's going to be a difficult time to do something for a sick person, then you can pray for that grace to be able to do it with God's help. It doesn't diminish the goodness of your act if you ask for the grace to endure it. Not at all. God wants to help you. It's what you do. You make that decision to go out and help that person even when it's difficult. So keep that in mind. Suffering humanity is calling out to you, clamoring for a kind deed. If sorrow becomes bearable to you, let it be the sorrow of your neighbor. In imitation of Jesus, you should always be ready to do good deeds, even when they are not obligatory. You are obliged, however, to perform the works of mercy in the name of Christ according to your ability and the need of your neighbor. So again, the corporal works of mercy that are to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit the imprisoned, to shelter the homeless, to visit the sick, and to bury the dead. And we don't need to go into all of these in detail, but essentially we're taking care of the bodily needs of those around us. They might be the people in your house. They might be your family members. You might have a family member that's in need. You might have a close friend that's isolated and that really needs your help. You might have a parent in a nursing home. You might have any number of situations. We have people at our church who bring the Eucharist to the shut-ins or to the people in nursing homes. There are opportunities for us to do this. We can't overlook these opportunities and this obligation. We can't love God without loving our neighbor. And we need to do that. I know it's not easy. That's the challenge of Christianity. Christianity isn't for wimps, as I say often. I know, because these are the things that I struggle with. It's much easier to get our prayer book and to sit in church and not have to deal with people, right? I kid around about that. I say that a lot, but it's really true. The difficulty comes when we have to go out and get out into the world and really interact with other people, some of whom are not pleasant to be with. So the corporal works of mercy, they're very important. And we are just about out of time on the program today. I want to thank you for spending the time with me. I want to thank you for listening to the show on a regular basis if you're a regular listener. If you're just stopping by today, I hope you come by again. It is a real honor to be able to hang out with you and talk about Jesus here on Blog Talk Radio. If there's anything that I can do for you, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And please keep in mind the contributions. I really could use some additional financial contributions to keep the program on the air. You can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com. Click on the donate tab. You can either become a monthly sponsor, which I definitely need some new monthly sponsors, or you can make a one-time donation. Whatever you want to do, know that it's very much appreciated. Know that you're the reason that this program is still on the air, and know also that I care about you. I care about keeping this show on the air because I want to help you to grow closer to Christ. I'm going to do whatever I can. I will be here as long as I possibly can. What the future holds, I don't know, but I want to be here, and I'll do whatever I can to keep it on the air and keep preaching the good news. Sound good? God willing, I'll be back here Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will take a look. We'll open up our catechism. We'll continue with our look at the sacraments. And I hope you can join me, too, because it just won't be the same without you. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Remember, the Lord is your shepherd, and the Lord wants you to go out and reach out to other people as well. So do that, and we'll see you back here next week. God bless you.